Well, we're in the Old Testament still, and again, and we're going to look at a prayer of Moses in chapter 10 of the book of Numbers. Chapter 10, the book of Numbers.
Numbers 10.
And we read in verse 35, "So it was, whenever the ark set out, that Moses said," or prayed, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel." Well, I think there's a couple of great examples in this prayer for you and for me today. First, we want to look at what was the setting of this prayer. In Numbers 10, the children of Israel moved for the first time from Mount Sinai, first time since the tabernacle has been built. They've been out of Egypt now about a year and 5 months. And so this is the first time that the cloud is going to be leading the tabernacle by day and the fire by night. And so we see that they get everything in order and they get the standard of the camp and of the various tribes all organized and ready to move out. And they have the order of the march of the children of Israel according to their armies when they begin their journey in verse 28 of chapter 10. Then our first example, I think, comes in the next few verses here after 29. Moses said to Hobab. We're not sure who Hobab is. But it says he's the son of Reuel. We think Reuel is probably Jethro, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, although Reuel and Jethro are not necessarily tied together in the scripture, other than they're both referred to as the father-in-law of Moses. But we think this is Hobab is the son of Jethro, who's also probably called Reuel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. And look at what Moses says to his relative Hobab. "We are setting out for the place of which the Lord has said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel." If you compare that to 1 John 1:3, where we read, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, so that you may have fellowship with us." And not with us only, but also our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Is that not what life is all about here as a believer? To bring others with us, to take others with us, and to give them the good news and say, God has prepared a place for me and a journey for me. Now come along with me. As the Lord will treat me well, He will treat you well. I think that's a very important part of the witness here. Now, unfortunately, look at Hobab's response. And is this not often the response we get from those we would tend to bring with us to the Lord? Verse 30 says, Hobab said to Moses, "I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives." Now, you would think he has been traveling with them, we don't know how long, but he's been traveling with them and he's seen some fantastic miracles of God's provision and all. And you would think that rather than go back to the sheep in the wilderness there, in the Midian desert, that he would want to go with them, right? But it looks like he's tied to his traditions and he's tied to his old ways. So he says, "I will not go." And isn't that typical of what many people say to you and I when we want to tell them about the good news of Christ? They want to hang on to their old ways, don't they? I've actually seen people almost go white-knuckled to hold on. Oh, I can't take a chance of letting go and letting God, you know. I just can't. I got to hold on. Now, they're holding on to an absolute path to destruction, but they don't see it. Yeah. And they don't want to let go, do they? So I'm not so sure this is all what's going on here, but it seems there is a case that could be made here. He says, "I will not go, but I will depart to my own relatives." Now, Moses wants to encourage him a bit, and so it seems to me. So he says, "Do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes." I don't believe he's looking to Hobab or any other man to find out the resting places for the children of Israel as they camp. I think he knows good and well the Lord's going to lead them through the tabernacle, through the cloud, and through the fire to exactly the places. But when they're en route, maybe there's some conveniences that Hobab would know about in the wilderness. And I think it's almost like you and I seeing somebody we want to bring to the Lord, or we want to come alongside us. You know, you might appeal to them on the gifts. You know, you have such a way with people. You know, oh, that would be, you know, that's such a wonderful quality of the Lord, or whatever. Anyway, he's telling him, you can be our eyes, because he knows the land. He's been in that wilderness. That's his home, basically. And it shall be, if you will go with us, indeed it shall be, he repeats that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you. So that's a great invitation, isn't it? Now, we don't know, the scripture doesn't tell us if he changed his mind and went with them or if he didn't. We do have a couple of references in Judges, and you don't need to turn there, but they both, in Judges chapter 1, verse 16, and 1 Samuel 5, verse 6, it speaks well of the Kenites, of whom this tribe is, that they befriended the children of Israel as they came through the wilderness. And so you could maybe read into that he changed his mind and went with them, but it doesn't really say that. At any rate, in verse 33, they depart from the mountain of the Lord, Mount Sinai, on a journey of 3 days. So their first journey out is 3 days, and the Ark of the Covenant went before them for the three-day journey. This is not the only time you're going to see the Ark of the Covenant leading. You remember when Joshua went into the land to take the high-walled city of Jericho. And God told him, you haven't been this way before, so the Ark of the Covenant will go ahead of you 2,000 cubits. And 2,000 cubits is a little over a half a mile. So the picture there is the children of Israel are not leading the charge, but God is leading them. Yeah. And here we have as well, the Ark of the Covenant went before them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was, whenever the ark set out, that Moses said. I see a good example here for you and for me. I believe you may see others, but I see the going out and the coming in. And Moses is sanctifying that each and every time. So I would ask you this question. Not critically or anything else. This is only for your answer. You don't have to hold hands or nod or anything else. But did you thank the Lord at the end of the day last night? Did you thank the Lord this morning as you got up? And I pray the answer is yes. And if it's not, pay attention to this prayer. And if the answer is yes, pay attention to this prayer. So Moses is going out and is coming in and he's praying. And so I think that's a great example for us. When they go out or when they left, he would say, rise up, O Lord. This word rise, kum, is used often, 627 times in the scriptures. It's translated rise up 28 times, so it's got a lot of different translations, but get up, rise up, come to the surface, or move out kind of a thing. But this is rise up, get your attention. Now, if you turn to Psalm 68, it just reminds me, David's such a great psalmist, but it reminds me he must have had a good grasp through the spirit of the Old Testament, because look at what David says in Psalm 68, verse 1. Same thing. Let God arise, kum, the same word. Let God arise. Here it says rise up, the same word. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. So that's just really a repeat of this prayer here, isn't it? Rise up, O Lord. Let your enemies be scattered. Now that word scattered literally means to break or dash into pieces. So he's not just saying, kind of get out of the way of us. He's saying, crush him, Lord. Dash him to pieces. And those who hate you flee before them. So this word flee basically means to vanish away. It means not just to get out of the way, but it means to totally get away. I mean, totally just vanish away. So he's asking, Lord, break and dash your enemies into pieces and may they vanish away. And that's not a bad prayer for the enemies of God, is it? I don't think. And Lord knows how many enemies he has, as we see every day. And then when they would return again, when they would stop, when the cloud by day would stop moving or the pillar of fire by night would stop moving, when it rested, then he would give another prayer and he would say, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. That word return, shub, is used over almost 1,100 times in the Bible, so it's a frequently used word. And it's translated return almost 160 times. So it means come back, return, be where you were, O Lord, and then to the many thousands. Now that word many in there basically can be translated a million. It can be translated 10,000 times. So this is really to the 10,000 times 10,000. You know, that's the same term we have in Greek in Revelation, right? Where there were angels of 10 or a million times a million, we say. But that really means an unlimited number is really what that means. So return to the unlimited number of Israel. I personally believe that Israel is not unlimited in number. But I do believe that that includes all of his children. And if you include all the children of God, then you get to a pretty big number, don't you? I would think, or at least I hope. So whether this is specifically just to Israel or not, he is praying to Israel. So let's return, O Lord, to the 10,000 times 10,000s of Israel. And I think that's to you and to me as well. So are you praying in the morning? Are you praying in the evening? Are you praying when you're going out? Are you praying when you're coming in? Are you sanctifying your day? Are you sanctifying your time? And are you really coming against in prayer against the enemies of the Lord? And are you coming against those to bring to the Lord? Come alongside. Invite them to all that the good things that the Lord has promised you. Right? Father, we thank you for this prayer and just a brief two-verse prayer. And yet, Lord, there's always so much to be learned, and there's probably so much more than we didn't even touch on this morning here. But Lord, help us now in these moments of prayer to pray for the lost and to maybe pray for the enemies that they would turn to you. And Lord, you'll just prompt us this morning with the typhoons in the Philippines and the earthquake in Samoa and in Sumatra and illnesses of many around us and some of pastors' families and so forth, and others of just close personal friends of ours or acquaintances at cancer support group and so forth. And so here we are. We just want to pour out our hearts to you and use these moments together effectively to stand the gap. May it be done in Jesus' name.